Father, I want to commit this time to you, even as I share your word. I want to pray that you enable me once again to deliver it as it is, Father God, so that your people here, either on site or online, will be encouraged to move on, not only to build church, but to build kingdom for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I prayed about what to share with you this weekend. So yesterday I shared on a message, when in doubt, what do you do? And I believe that today I will share with you specifically to you as a church as you prepare to move into Orchard Towers. So whatever I share with you today, crossing over to the new era, can also apply to you one-on-one. Because I sense, and it's true, my own personal life, as I transited after leading SIBKL for 30 years last year into a group of senior pastors with only about 40 years old, it's also a new era for me. And for all of us, as we cross over into the new era, what kind of postures should we adopt? I think my cue from 2 Samuel chapter 19, from a relatively unknown person and passage of scripture, which I came across last year. I've read through this many times, but last year when SIBKL did the Life and Times of David from our pulpit ministry, I had opportunity to study this passage in depth, and I found the precious lessons from a man by the name of Barzillai, unknown, insignificant, just a few verses, but it made such a great impact into David's life. And I share with you in a short while how. So let me read this precious scripture. Barzillai, the Galadite. Again, excuse me if I look this way because I can't see that. It's too far away for me. From Rogelim to cross the Jordan with the king to send him on his way from there. So the context is, David is now on the way back to Jerusalem. And then suddenly out of nowhere, from Rogelim, a man by the name of Barzillai appeared. And this man was very old, 80 years old. And I resonate with this because I'm already 79 this year, going to be 80 next year. I know I don't look like it, but I am. He provided for the king during his stay in Mahanaim, and he was a very wealthy man. And I told you, I don't resonate with this. The king said to Barzillai, cross over. I underline the word cross over because cross over appeared many, many times, 10 times in this entire passage. With me, stay with me, and I will provide for you. But Barzillai answered the king, how many more years will I live? You want me to go to Jerusalem with you? Thank you so much for your invitation, but I can't. How many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I'm now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is enjoyable and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats? And somehow, I don't know what condition he had, he couldn't taste. And not only that, expectedly, he couldn't hear. Can I still hear the voices of male and female singers? Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? That's what I'll do, Barzillai said. Let me cross over the Jordan with the king, only for a short distance. And why should the king reward me? Please, don't reward me. You can thank me. All I want to do, king, is to be with you. You know, the river Jordan is not very wide one. Those of us who've been to Israel will know that, right? Let your servant then return that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father and mother. But here is your servant Kimham. Let him cross over with my lord, the king. Do whatever you wish. The word cross over occurred 10 times in this passage. And the only other time, as far as I know, where the word crossover appeared many times was in Joshua chapter 2, chapter 3, when Joshua led the children of Israel after wandering for 40 years in the wilderness again over the cross, river Jordan into the promised land. So it tells me that whenever there is a crossover, these are the seasons and the times. When do we cross over? Times of transition. So last year, on the 7th of July, I crossed over. Not only did I cross over and transited after 30 years of leading my church to be one of the biggest churches in Malaysia right now, but also I crossed over and handed over to 5 senior pastors who are around 40 years old. That's, I wouldn't say a risk. It's a new paradigm shift. You see, I'm still crossing over. 5 senior pastors instead of 1. So it's a new model that I had. So I know what it is like to cross over and do what I am doing now, full stop, before I go. You also cross over in times of trials, tribulations. I shared last night on the times when we are in doubt. But you say, Pastor, how can a Christian be in doubt? I don't know about you. But occasionally, I ask the Lord, did I decide rightly? Did I make the right choice? Times of testings. But more importantly, a new beginning. So I sense in my spirit that there are a number of you here who are in one of the 5 categories. Don't know what. If it is, these are the 3 postures you need to take. Like Barzillai, who crossed over with David. This was one of David's lowest of the low moments in his life. A few chapters preceding this passage, Absalom, his son, rebelled against him. But more painful to him than Absalom was Ahithophel, his right-hand man, his most trusted person, went to the other side and betrayed David. That really hurts. You know, the closer you are to the person in betrayal, it hurts. Whether in family, workplace, or even in church. Just to give you an idea how hurtful it was to David when Ahithophel went over to the other side, let me just read a portion of scripture that gives you an idea how painful it was to David when he heard this news. 2 Samuel chapter 15. David continued up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. His head was covered and he was barefooted. So imagine David. Could be winter. Barefooted, walking up Mount Olives with a hoodie, crying. And all the people saw him crying. They also wept because the king was sad. Why? Because David has been told Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. It hurts. And shortly after that, Absalom was killed and David mourned for his son. So this was one of the lowest moments in David's life. And out of the blues, a man called Barzillai came in. What he did do? Nothing much. Just accompany you. Just say a few words to encourage you. But it made a great impact into David's life. 3 postures. When you and I cross over into a new era of our life, whether it be times of testings, tribulations, trials, transitions, or a new beginning, number one, please don't give up. please don't stop coming to church. Please don't stop serving. In the first service, I prayed for a couple of people who were in periods of transition of their lives. Uncharted territory. I did not ask more than I should. Clearly, they were unsure, and one couple was hurt. They came from another church. It doesn't matter. But the key is this, my friend, listen to me very carefully. Continue to encourage. If there's one thing, after 30 years of leading my church to where it is today, I've learned to tell people, the one thing the church needs most in this day and age, besides all the things you do, sir, is we need to encourage one another. And it's one thing that all of us in this room, whoever you are, whatever status you may be, you all can do it. We must continue to be an encourager. The amazing thing is, who was this guy, Barzillai? He was a Gileadite. He came from Ramosh Gilead. Ramosh Gilead is one of the six cities of refuge. A city of refuge is a place where you go to hide if you committed manslaughter, if you did not commit murder or something like that, and you're safe in that place. So whatever happened, we don't know the background of this man, but he lived in Ramosh Gilead and he came out. It could very well be that something happened in his past. We don't know. He was healed. And like what Jesus said to Peter, when you are healed, encourage. Remember? When you come back, Peter, you will deny me three times. You encourage your brothers. Same for you, Cornerstone. You have to continue to be an encourager. 80 years old, you know? 80 years old. Don't tell yourself that I'm already 70 years old. Let it, the young people do, never. As long, I always say to my people, as long as I have, chewing chi, have one breath in my nostril and one calorie of energy left in my body, I will serve the Lord. You do the same. Come on, you want to clap? Give God a clap. Let's do that. You do the same, my friend. You do the same. It's nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with age. As long as you can walk, you can encourage. Am I right? A phone call, a text, whatever you do. He had encouraged David before. You see, and I like David. He is my favorite character in the Old Testament, as I said, not the adultery part, okay? But my favorite character in the New Testament is not Paul, it's not Timothy, it's this guy called Barnabas. Why? Because his name is a son of encouragement. In Acts chapter 4, again, out of nowhere he appeared, right? Out of nowhere. And then, Acts 13, he went with Paul in the first missionary journey. Barnabas and Paul. He was the one that ministered to Paul when everybody rejected him and were very suspicious of him. And later on, somewhere in the middle of Acts 13, it was no more Barnabas and Paul, but Paul and Barnabas. In other words, Paul took the leadership. If I were Barnabas, I say, hey, Paul, I mentored you, you know. Slap, slap, slap. Why now you took leadership? No. A good encourager never threatened by anyone. Am I right? It's like a father. Will a father be jealous of the son if during the father's time he scored only 2 A's, the son got 8 A's? Slap, slap, slap. Why you 8 A's? I got only 2 A's, you know. Be a Barnabas. It's okay with you? Encourage. The second posture that you and I should have as we move into the new era, times of testing, times of trials, times of tribulations, time to transition, a new beginning. Whatever it is, whatever your situation may be, both now and in the days to come, continue, don't not only encourage, but use your gifts for good and for God. Every one of you, without fail, has a gift. Something that you can do, a talent. Remember a talent? So use it to serve God. And not only that, I will go one step further. Serve God unconditionally, like Barzillai. You know what he said to the king? He said, King, I don't know why, but God prompted me. I was resting in Rogelim, and suddenly the Holy Spirit prompted me, and I came and to accompany you just to cross the River Jordan and go back. And please, don't reward me. Don't reward. I'm not doing it to get something from you. And that's very important. Because when we serve, it's always the what can I get out of it? What? You do it because you love God. Always say, my wife and I, when we share, the reason why we do what we do, I was an obstetrician and gynecologist before I became a full-time pastor. My wife was a successful pediatrician before she gave it all up to serve as a full-time pastor. Why? All my colleagues, you see, every year, I graduated in 1971 from university in Malaya. Many of you are not even born by the time. I was the third batch of medical graduates from the University of Malaya when it first started, and most of my professors were from NUS when Prof. Dhanaraj started in. I was the third batch of medical graduates, 1971. Today, after 54 years of graduation, for the last 10 years, my medical class meets just for reunion. And it is a law of diminishing returns because out of 64 graduates, only 40 left. The others either dead or they cannot move in a wheelchair. But every time we meet, we ask one another, how are you? So up to last year, all of them have done very well. A couple of them, many of them are here in Singapore. The leading cardiologist in Singapore is my classmate. But he come to me, hey, what do you do, Wing Chi? Up to last year, I'm a pastor. What? Why you become a pastor? So everybody tells me where they're staying, how many cars do they drive. And when they come to me, what car do you drive, a pastor? My second car is the Proton. They all do very well. But one thing they don't have is purpose and peace and purpose in my life. I'm very fulfilled serving God. Very fulfilled serving God. Why? Because I do it because I love the Lord. Not for any returns. You do the same. So that's what happened to Barzillai. Why should the king reward me? I do it because I love the king. Read this with me. Let's read scripture together. Left to right, front to back. Read out loud. Are you ready? Both versions, huh? Let's read the first version, NIV. Are you ready? Loud. 1, 2, 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Now, let's read the KJV version. 1, 2, 3. Do it heartily. Whatever you do, do it as to the Lord. The Lord knows it. And do it heartily. I always believe this. God is no man's debtor. In a short while, I will tell you what the outcome would be. It may not be monetarily benefit. No. There are many things money cannot buy one. If not, I wouldn't do what I do, right? third thing. The third posture, especially in this season of my life, as I transited to younger people, 40 years old, continue to empower the next generation. If I were to have a secondary title to what I share with you today, Cornerstone, it would be the three continues. Nothing extraordinary, not rocket science. I'm not here to tell you the Hebrew and Greek of all the theological underpinnings of Scripture. I'm not. Very simple. You all know it. Just continue. So everybody say continue. Continue. One more time. Continue. In other words, don't stop. Understand? Don't stop doing whatever that you are good at doing. You want to sing? Sing. You are good at playing music? Be better. You're good at hospitality? Be hospitable. You're good at connecting with people? Serve the Lord. In whatever that God has given to you, do it and do it well as unto the Lord. But one thing I'm very, very passionate about now, more than any other time at my age, is that we need to empower the next generation. This is exactly what Barzillai said to the king. Yes, you don't need to give me anything. I do it because I love you, king. But he said this, verse 37. Let your servant return that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father and mother. But here is your servant Kimham. Let him cross over with the Lord and king. Do whatever you wish. The king said, okay, since you requested it and you don't want anything for yourself, yes, Kimham shall cross over with me to Jerusalem and I will do for him whatever you wish. And anything you desire for me, I will do for you as well. It's like Solomon. God asked Solomon, what do you want? Solomon said, wisdom. And God said, because you didn't ask for riches, I will give you wisdom and riches. Am I right? You do what is right and righteous for God. And God, that's what David said. Yes, I will accede to your request. I will bring Kimham with me, but I will still bless you. Barzillai, who is Kimham? The NLT says, my son, other versions, your servant. In other words, a young man. So what was in Barzillai's heart? Empower the next generation. And this is something that you and I can do. You know, I don't know about you. At our age, one thing that excites me is to see young people rise up or no. It really empowers me, excites me. You know, SIBKL grew by 10 to 15% in the last 1 year since I transited. From 4,000, 10, 15% is almost 600 people. In 1 year, no, it grew. And we analyzed it just a couple of weeks ago. How did we grow so fast in 1 year? And we analyzed in our demographics that the old people, after I transited, never left. Why? Because I'm still there. Pastor Chu is still there, ma. It's a stabilizing factor. But what grew was the next generation. The next generation sprouted up. Why? Because my senior pastors are all 40 years old. So, you know, the way they talk, the language, the body is different, right? No, I cannot think the way they think. They talk as if, you know what I mean, and connected so well, young people. So the last 1 year, we grew 10 to 12%, mostly young people. I've been to so many churches, not only in Malaysia, in Singapore, and elsewhere. I look at a church, if the demographics is majority old people, you're in big trouble. You have to empower the next generation. And I'm convinced that Kimham, the young man, is a Chinese Jew. I I don't think he's Singaporean or Malaysian, because if he is, he will be called Kim Lien. And I don't think he's Korean as well, because if it is, he'll be called Kim Chi. You see, when you and I invest in the next generation, you please the heart of God. Any ministry, you bring in the young. It gives you energy, passion, ideas. I cannot think the way my senior pastors think now. You see, very important cornerstone in the new next phase of your journey. I won't say, don't marginalize the older, okay? Don't marginalize the older. I said this, and I tell my church, old people like me need only two things. I won't tell you. No, I will. Old people only need two things. You want to know? Number one, respect. You honor them. You must honor the older folks, okay? But number two, very important. Old people must never make an older folk feel that he is useless. So old people, as long as you respect them and make them feel that they're still useful, you can do anything you want. Okay? Three things. Okay? As you move into your new season of your life, whatever that transition may be, as you step into uncharted territory, whether in your family, whether in your workplace, whether in ministry, individually or collectively as a church, continue. Everybody say continue. Continue to encourage. Okay. This is something every one of us can do, whether in your workplace or what, even from members of another church, it doesn't matter. Number two, you continue to serve the Lord unconditionally, all right? You serve Him because you love Him. And God is no man's debtor. I'm going to show you in a short while. And number three, very important, intentionally empower the next generation. What's the outcome? Pastor, what do I get out of this? Now, I'm not saying this will be your portion, but as I look at this passage, God is no man's debtor. Number one, Barzillai found favor with the king. You remember what the king said? Yes, I will accede to your request, but I will also bless you. And that's God. Do you think it's God? God is no man's debtor, right? And how many of you, how many of us have experienced the blessings of God? Don't you think so? The very fact that you are here this morning, don't you think it's a blessing of God? You can walk, you can eat, you can do anything you want. Am I right? Barzillai couldn't even eat. No taste, can't hear. Yet he served. Can you imagine that? So why can't you? Why can't I? So Barzillai found favor with God because of his three postures. But secondly, his sons were blessed. In 1 Kings chapter 2, Barzillai had now passed away. And now David is still alive, but his final few words, as he charged Solomon besides building the temple, this is what David said to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 7. Listen to me very carefully. Solomon, show kindness to the sons of Barzillai. Why? Because Barzillai has passed away. Just in case, Solomon, you say, which Barzillai? Barzillai is a very common name. Barzillai of Gilead. That one. And let them, the sons, be among those who eat at your table. Why? Because He stood by me when I fled from your brother Absalom. That guy. You see, God is no man's debtor. There's a saying in SIBKL, when you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. And I've seen that played out many times. May not be monetarily gain, because there are many things money cannot buy one. The third blessing blew my mind. As I look at Barzillai and trace the journey of Barzillai, long after Barzillai had passed away, in the book of Ezra, 500 years after David, Ezra is 536, David is 1000 BC. This is what is found in Ezra chapter 2, verse 61. As the first cohort of the Jews returned from Babylonian captivity back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, most of them were priests. Why? Because they want to build the temple, right? They want to reestablish worship. And among them, the priests, the descendants of Hobiah, Harkos, and Barzillai. A man who had married a daughter of Barzillai, just in case, which Barzillai? The girl had died, that one, from Ramosh Gilead, and was called by, in other words, there was a daughter of the descendant of the original Barzillai, called a daughter, who married a Levitical priest, whose name was Barzillai. And 500 years later, the Barzillai household got incorporated into the Levitical priesthood. What? Because they served the Lord. There's a blessing which I pray over people very seldom, but sometimes I feel led to do that, called the Jacobite blessing. The Jacobite blessing is found in the book of Jeremiah, in which God blessed Jacobite. He says that in every generation of your family, there will be at least one person serving me. The Jacobite blessing. This is it. God is no man's debtor. You serve God, my friend. Continue to encourage. Continue. Can I have the worship team on stage? You continue to use whatever giftings God has given it to you. Don't build church. My good friend, Dr. Daniel Ho, has this saying. It's this. Building a church is a project. Building a church alone is a project far too small for God. Because as far as God is concerned, it's always build kingdom, never church. Never church. If God strengthens Cornerstone, it's so that Cornerstone can be a blessing to the nation of Singapore. If God bless SIBKL, it's so that SIBKL can be a blessing to the nation, and that's what we are doing. So God has released Pastor Lee Chew and me to bless the entire nation of Malaysia now. I go around everywhere in Malaysia strengthening small churches. And my wife, Pastor Lee Chew, has started a prayer, the most active prayer network, which forms a spiritual iron dome over Malaysia. We are still serving God. But it's not only for the church. It is for kingdom. Understand? It's my family. I'm going to close in a short while. Time is running out. I'm running out of time. I got 2 minutes. Only 2 minutes to share with you. Shall I share this, Pastor? I'm so blessed to have 4 grandchildren. Now 5th one coming on the way. My first cousin, before she passed away, used to be the head of compliance in UOB Bank here in Collier Quay or Kak Quay, Rubish Quay. She went back to China, I'm Hakka, to do a survey of the Chu dynasty, the Chu ancestry, the Chu family. And she was managed to trace back 11 generations of Chu, you know, went back to the village where we came from. And to her surprise, she found that my ancestors, up to 11 generations, were royal assassins. They were hitmen for the emperor, you know. And the reason why she could trace back the archives, because it's royal archives, man. And in China, they keep the royal archives very well, one, no? Chu. Wow! And that's the reason why my grandfather, great-grandfather sent my grandfather from China to Malaysia to run away from those people who want to kill him, because my grandfather was the only son. In Chinese, you kill me, So my grandfather escaped. Only son, married my grandmother. But because of the blood shed by the Chu family, my grandfather had 9 children. 2 died prematurely. You know, they had abject poverty. It's very poor one. My grandfather sells ice cream, not ice cream, ice water. Ice water. You know. Out of the 9, 2 died prematurely. 2 died of cancer. 2 fell foul with the law, you know. CBT, and had run away to Australia. Where else? Australia. You know, and one of them went bingong, went psychiatric. Only 2 out of the 9 did well, my father and my uncle. And so my grandfather, seeing this happen to his children, would every night cry with my grandmother and pray for hours in Hakka. Chua, Yuan Liang, forgive. Because of what has been done by the Chu ancestry. Night and day, every night they pray as they cry before God. And deep inside them, they knew God has forgiven them. But he said, God, give me one sign. Give me one sign that you have reversed the curse and given the forgiveness to the Chu family. And that one sign is one of the Chu descendants become a full-time pastor. And I'm him. You know, when I became a full-time pastor and gave up my medical profession, my grandfather cried, man. Cried. And all my generation, all the Chus, every single Chu has become a Christian. Every single, and all do very well, man. Come on, let's keep God clap offering. And every one of my son's generation after me, every single Chu in the entire world, a Chu family, not Chu, every Chu in my family, okay, are safe and become Christians. And I want to believe that every one of my grandchildren's generation will also be safe. Why? Because the curse is broken. Do that, my friend. I'm going to close because the next service is 11:45. I want to pray for you. Do 3 things. Continue to be an encourager. Continue to serve God. If I can do that at 79 years old, don't give up. And 3, look for young people to encourage. Would you do that? Let's all stand. So, Father, I thank you for using me in the last 24 hours. And I pray that Cornerstone will grow from strength to strength in the coming days. That even as it transits into a new phase, a new chapter of your life, may God always bless your leadership, bless you, that may the beauty of the Lord rest upon you. May the favor of the Lord rest upon you. May the delight of the Lord rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Establish the work of your hands. Psalm 90, verse 16 to 17 may be your portion. May always be your portion. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Of course, people say, let's give God a good clap offering. Should we do that?
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.